or whatever. But, question, does it make a difference who creates the freedom or the liberty? That is, does it make a difference if you gain the freedom or liberty, or if someone does it for you? Does that make a difference as to liberty? What do you think?
There's a big difference between Christian liberty and the definition you just gave.
Well, not really. We'll get to it. But yet does it make a difference if you gain it? In other words, let's just say you've been kidnapped. All right, you've lost your freedom because you're bound. And you manage to escape that. So you've done it, however you did it. Now again, I'm not discounting the sovereignty of God in making that possible. But that you did that versus someone came and overcame the person who kidnapped you and set you free. Is there a difference in how or the liberty that you have? Paul?
There's a difference in the way you view it, but it's...
Okay, because liberty is liberty. Yeah, I would agree. And a difference in the way you view it. But I would suggest that if you do it yourself in whatever way, then can you not, within reason here, set the parameters then of what you do? I.e., if you escape, you can go where you want to go, and you can live where you want to live, and you're free. If someone, and this is probably a very poor example, but if someone sets you free, all right, and they say, now look, for the time being, here's where I want you to be. Do they have that right? Do they have that ability? Well, if they set you free, if they care enough to set you free, then yeah, they can establish arguably some parameters. Now, let me go one step further. Jordan.
If some other person comes along and sets you free, it's by their power they were able to overcome your enemy. And by definition, if they were able to overcome the person that kidnapped you, they would be strong enough to kidnap you too.
Good, good. So Jordan's the idea of power and authority. If you are strong enough to overcome, you set your parameters. You're able, because you were strong enough to overcome. Now, maybe the next person, you're not strong enough. But in this case, you were. But if you weren't strong enough before, but now someone who is strong enough comes and sets you free, then arguably they are still stronger than you. And they can establish some parameters. By parameters, I'm suggesting what can be done within or as part of this newfound liberty that you have, all right? That's what I'm meaning by parameters. Now, one more question. Does it make a difference if it's affecting one person or many people? Does it make a difference? Our idea of liberty, does it make a difference? Is liberty any different if it's one person or many? Principally, is it any different? Now, and follow me here, is the concept of liberty any different if it's one person or if it's a million people. Wouldn't be, would it? I mean, liberty's fairly absolute, isn't it? Now, how that plays out practically, I would suggest to you it's different. Principally, no. Practically, why? Think with me. Why would it be practically different if you have a million people versus one? Mark?
Well, it's a matter of whether your liberty runs up against somebody else's. If I can use a really old illustration of Bob Jones Sr., I could walk down the street swinging my arm around all I want and have the ability to do so. But the moment my fist hits your chin, my liberty ends and yours begins.
Good. All right. So, obviously, if it's my liberty, your liberty, those are going to clash somewhere. So with more people, there has to be more what? Has to be more structure, doesn't there? You've got to establish more and more of those parameters. You can't leave it up to everybody. And thus, we have in this country a constitution. We have laws, federal, state, local. And those are simply parameters that deal with your freedom. That in some way restrict that freedom. You can't just go down the road here whatever speed you want to. I mean, you can, but you probably will pay a price for doing it sooner or later. All right? So why do we have the right to establish speed limits? Why does somebody have that right? Well, obviously, your freedom needs to be controlled so as not to endanger the life of somebody else. All right, let's take a look at paragraph 20.1. I'm on page 522. The liberty which Christ, and just pay attention to words from, to, who's doing what the liberty relates to. The liberty which Christ hath purchased for believers under the gospel consists in their freedom from the guilt of sin, the condemning wrath of God, the curse of the moral law, and in their being delivered from this present evil world, bondage to Satan and dominion of sin, from the evil of afflictions, the sting of death, the victory of the grave, and everlasting damnation, as also in their free access to God and their yielding obedience unto him, not out of slavish fear, but a childlike love and willing mind, all which were common also to believers under the law, the Old Testament. But under the New Testament, the liberty of Christians is further enlarged in their freedom from the yoke of the ceremonial law to which the Jewish church was subjected, and in greater boldness of access to the throne of grace, and in fuller communications of the free Spirit of God than believers under the law did ordinarily partake of. Okay? So, few more questions with this in mind, and we'll come back to some of the particulars here. But with this in mind, in my question, well, let me, one other thing. In Christian liberty, now I'm focusing in on Christian liberty. Who gained the freedom? Self or somebody else? You better know this one. Right, the Lord. The liberty which Christ hath purchased. This was a purchased liberty. Some liberties are done otherwise, but this was a purchased liberty. The liberty which Christ hath purchased. If you look at your proof text there, the first three, Titus 2, who gave himself to redeem us, that he might redeem us. 1 Thessalonians which delivered us from the wrath to come. Galatians 3, Christ hath redeemed us, being made a curse for us. Galatians 1, 4, who gave himself for us, for our sins, that he might deliver us. Colossians 1, 13, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness. Acts 26, 18, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God. And number three, the last one down there, 1 Corinthians 15, 54 through 57, and verse 57 says, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 8, 1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Right? So, Christ purchased our liberty. Now, that being said, keeping in mind what we were talking about, so who sets the parameters for that liberty? Who? Yeah, it's not complicated. The Lord, God through his word, right, sets the parameters. Very, very generally, what are those parameters? Think back to what we've been studying for the last however long. What are the parameters? Two of them. First one is?
Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, and soul, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself.
There are your parameters. There are your parameters. For this new freedom, the parameters, love God, love your neighbor. You do that successfully according to what God has set forth in those Ten Commandments. You have made full use of your liberty. What Christ purchased for you, you have enjoyed. You don't, you're wasting. You're losing out on some of the liberty. Because when you don't do it, what's happening? When you don't obey, you're in sin. Any transgression of the law of God is sin. And sin brings you back around in a given way to put you under the bondage. Can't lose your salvation. Can't lose your salvation. But when you sin, you are giving up this liberty to once again be ensnared by Satan, the kingdom. What we read in our scripture reading, you can't serve two masters. There are two masters. And either you will serve God or you'll serve Satan. That's the thrust of the whole argument. So, you can't serve God apart from this liberty. We'll get to that. So, you're always serving Satan until you enjoy this liberty, no matter what you're doing. God sets the parameters. All right, let's look at question two. I'm on page 523. So did Adam and Eve have liberty before the fall? Did Adam and Eve have liberty before the fall? How many say yes? Anybody say no? All right. Sure they did. What would we call that? And we've talked about it, but what would we generally refer to that as? Man's what? Man's free will. Now I want you to listen. If you've got the bigger book, you've got chapter 9 with you. Chapter 9 of the Confession deals with of free will, man's free will. Now, just listen, and pardon me for reading as much as I'm going to here, but I think it's important. Because, again, man started with a given liberty. 9.1 says, God hath endued the will of man with that natural liberty, that it is neither forced nor by any absolute necessity of nature determined to good or evil. Right? The liberty to do right or wrong. That's the liberty God gave Adam and Eve. The liberty they could do either way. 9.2. Man, in his state of innocency before the fall, had freedom and power to will and to do that which is good and well-pleasing to God, but yet, mutably, so that he might fall from it. All right? He had ability and power in that free will to do right or wrong. 9.4. 9.4, if you're looking, if you've got it, I'm on page 238 of our materials. When God converts a sinner and translates him into the state of grace, right, here come our words, he freeth him from his natural bondage under sin, and by his grace alone enables him freely to will and to do that which is spiritually good. Yet so, as that by reason of his remaining corruption, he doth not perfectly nor only will that which is good, but doth also will that which is evil. But in salvation, God frees him from his bondage to sin. When man sinned, Adam sinned, you remember this? Adam had the ability to do right or wrong. Before the fall, he had the power to do right or wrong. When Adam sinned, what did he lose? Ability or power? Or both? Power. Still had the same ability. When Adam sinned, he did not lose any of his free will as such. But he lost the power to do anything right. His heart was inclined to do evil continually. No power. When God saves him, he restores the power. The power is restored. Now, restored to that ability, so that now again there is a heart desiring to do the right. Not perfectly, as our confession tells us, and we've been through it. You can go back and read and study what we talked about there. But when he does that, he's now has the power. And one more in 9.5, the will of man is made perfectly and immutably, unchangeably, can't do anything otherwise. The will of man is made perfectly and immutably free to good alone in the state of what?
Glory.
The state of glory. You get to heaven, no more battle. No more battle. You'll only want to do what's right. No more conflict. No more conflict. It's part of the liberty that's been purchased for you. That 20.1 talks about the liberty which Christ hath purchased. Great thing for Resurrection Sunday, as we call it. Okay? So, Adam, and you can go back, like I say, and review chapter 9 of your the confession. Again, all of it's great study, and you can see how knowing it, understanding those early chapters and what's in them, it just builds and helps with the understanding of what comes after that. And now, with Christian liberty. Next question. When Adam sinned, and we've just talked about this some, when Adam sinned, what liberty did he lose? Okay. If Christ has purchased liberty for the descendants of Adam, for Adam himself, and those that follow, then Christ is obtaining a liberty for us. What did Adam lose when he sinned? He lost something, because if Christ is purchasing something for us in the way of liberty, must it be something lost? Bob?
Would I be correct in saying that Adam and Eve had absolutely no knowledge of sin prior to the fall, and that it was Satan that introduced sin into
God? No knowledge? Well, that's a tough one.
Because God said to Adam, one of the first questions was, who told you you were naked?
Mm-hmm. Did they have knowledge of the consequences of sin? No. I can tell you that without any hesitation. So, that question and what they realized after they sinned was a result of their sin. Now, did they have the right to choose good or evil before he sinned? Yes. It's what we just talked about. He was endued with a free will. For in fact, what did he do? He chose evil at some point. Proof of his free will. God said, you follow me, and he did. Commune with God daily, I think. Cool of the evening there in the garden. And so he did that every day. When he sinned, made a difference. So the consequences. Remember what Satan told Adam and Eve? God's holding back on you. Because he knows. In the day you eat of the fruit, what's going to happen? Remember what the devil told him?
You'll be like God.
You'll be like God. And in what way? Remember what he said? How they would be like gods? Yeah. Knowing what's good and evil. Did in fact that happen? Mm-hmm. They gained a knowledge they wish they didn't. They wish they hadn't. Now, was God holding back? God was protecting them and preserving them. But he didn't overcome their free will in Adam's sin. So, the liberty that Adam lost was the liberty of the ability to do what? What do you think was Adam's chief end before the fall?
Glorify God,
have communion with, same as ours, to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. That's what he lost when he sinned. That's what he lost. The ability to please God. Adam lost that ability totally. Totally. He lost that power And then he obviously lost the communion. Because without any power to do what's right, he's constantly doing what's wrong. And we know that God is more righteous than to look upon sin. God couldn't have communion with him because of what he had become. Fourth question. We might end with this one because I want to end a little bit earlier just to give time for things that are going to follow in our morning service. My fourth question is, why can man not regain his liberty? Why can man not regain his liberty? Let's consider how it could be gained. Now, we've talked about one. How did Christ gain his liberty? What does it tell us? He did what? Six word. What does it say? He purchased. So we know that you can get this liberty by purchasing. How else might you get liberty? I'm sorry? Well, but he purchased. We're dealing with that, but I'm talking about methods, just in general. If you've got one country that's oppressing another country, how does the one gain freedom? Power, right? You overpower the strong man. You know, that's what the passages that deal with that deal with. And the other method that I've got down here, and you may come up with some more, but the other is that your works-oriented religions, what are they teaching? That you can do what? You can work to do what? You earn it. Right? You do enough to earn your salvation. You do enough to make God pleased. You tip the scales in your favor. So you can buy it, you can gain it by power, or you can earn it. So what would it cost a man to buy it? What does Scripture tell us? What would it take for him to buy just his one soul? Mm-mm. Man can't earn it. He can't earn it. We're past that. But I'm on the purchase. How much would it cost him to buy his one soul? What does Scripture say?
You can't buy it.
Why? Right, that way, but what would it cost him? Let's just assume for a minute he could. Because Scripture addresses it. What's a soul worth? What does Scripture say? If you gain the whole world, but lost your soul. If you gain the whole world, and you can't do that, but let's just say arguably, if you gain the whole world, and the implication is, if you gain the whole world, you still don't have enough. You still don't have enough. So man, if one man had it all, that cuts out everybody else, doesn't it? Because if one man has it all, there's nothing left for the rest of us. So he can't buy it. He can't buy it. 1 Peter, you can jot these down and look at them later. 1 Peter 1:18 is a passage that would speak to that. He can't earn it. Why can't he earn it?
Because he's a sinner.
So let's say once he's saved, can he earn it then? Why? Logan says, no, he can't. He can't earn it then. Why?
The cost is too great.
Yeah. So what's the standard? Perfect obedience, right? For your whole life. So let's just say, once you're saved, you could have perfect obedience from that point forward. Is that enough to get you in? Would that satisfy the covenant of works?
No.
No. Why? Good, good. You still got sin that hadn't been atoned for. And you can't do enough, you can't do anything to atone for it. The best you could do is to simply keep the law from this point forward. And we know we can't even do that perfectly. So he can't earn it. Romans 9:11, Galatians 2:16, 2 Timothy 1:9. You can look at those. And you can't get it by force, can he? Now, who are the enemies? Who would man have to conquer to free his soul? Think about it. God would be one.
Himself.
Beyond himself. He doesn't have to impart, conquer, but in overcoming himself in effect, because who's he in bondage to? Who's controlling him?
Satan.
So he's got two foes that he would have to overpower to gain his liberty. He's got to overpower Satan, and he's no match. We know that from Scripture. No match for Satan. Because Satan has got him in his kingdom. You'll serve one of two masters. God or Satan. And he can't overpower God. So he can't gain his liberty by his own power. No matter how strong. No matter how influential. And this is where the passage is about the strong man. Matthew 12:29, Mark 3:27, Luke 11:22. The strong man's house. We saw in one of our proof texts about delivering from the power of Satan. That was the Acts 26:18. Colossians 1:13. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness. So, Christ, in giving us liberty, overcame. He purchased our liberty by paying the price, by defeating our foe. By power, he overcame. By purchase, he paid the price for all those sins. He satisfied God. He overcame Satan and he satisfied God to give you and me the liberty that we enjoy. Wonderful. Wonderful. We'll pick up there next week and look at your questions if you have time. I know you're busy during the week, but if you have time, just look at the questions and give some thought. Okay, how would I answer this? Because I want to hear what you think. I want us to let this work around in our head and impact our heart. Okay? So we'll pick up with number 5. Has man ever been free from accountability, or let me change that a little bit. Has man ever been free from parameters? You know, we get to Christian liberty and something that Scripture addresses concerning it and something that's prevalent today. All right, you know, you're not going to make me a legalist. You know, you can't set parameters. God didn't set parameters. I'm free. Free to do what I want to do. Is that true? Has that ever been true? So, all right, let's have a word of prayer, and we'll be done for the day. And if you don't have the material, please grab it so you've got it. There's plenty. We'll get more books if all the books are taken. But these are for you. You know, take them. If you don't have one, feel free to take it. And so you look at it, have it to study. If you don't have something else that you're studying, maybe you make this some of your study during the week. But in any event, feel free to get what you need. All right, let's pray. Our Father, we are thankful this day that Christ has purchased our liberty. He paid the price with his own precious blood. We're thankful this day that he's risen from the dead. He overpowered our great enemy. He atoned for our sin and overcame the power of Satan that we see in the grave, Lord, in death. How blessed we are today. Our Father, we are certainly aware that we're blessed today only because you in love acted toward us. You gave us your Son to live and to obey the law perfectly, to fulfill the covenant of works on our behalf, and then to atone for the sins and the failures that we had committed, though he committed none. We're thankful this day for the risen Christ. We're thankful this day that we can and have been made to see and to embrace Christ as our Savior. So Lord, help us in our worship today. Fill our hearts with joy, with praise, with adoration for all that you've done for us. And Lord, help us to fully and rightly understand the liberty that's been purchased for us. And then help us to use it. Lord, help us to use it to please thee, to glorify thee, and to enjoy thee. And we'll give you thanks and praise for it. For we pray it in Christ's precious name. Amen.